I was a dead man, out in the cold. Life was a pit and I was deep in a hole, just about to give up. Then lo and behold, a voice from within said, save your soul. Yo, brothers and sisters all around the globe, I got a story, word, it's gotta be told to my family, friends, fans, even my foes. It's like this, y'all, this is how it goes. I was out in the world without a name or a goal, huh, out of school and out of control, set in my ways, yeah, stuck in the mold, and going the wrong way down a one-way road. Young and bold, I didn't want to be told, I used to steal and brag about the stuff I stole. Then one bright day, my mind got blown, when a voice from within said, save your soul. I didn't want to be told, things were looking up, and I was on the roll. I was a rude boy, and a Romeo, and anywhere I went, I started the show. I had money, woman, plenty of gold, and an overinflated EGO. I was a dead man, but I didn't know, until a voice from within said, save your soul. A movie, and I was playing the role of a black youth living in the ghetto, where the action was, that's where I'd go. Right or wrong, I'll be going with the flow, but what you reap is what you sow. It's like karma, the bad you do will follow you around, and I was going down, right down, with my face in the ground, two hands bound to a siren sound, none of my so-called friends anywhere to be found. As I thought to myself, in life you're alone, a voice from within said, anyone home? Yes, Lord, well here I be, if I ain't ready yet, I will never be. I'm sorry for the things that I did before, believe me, Lord, I won't do them no more. I'll be an arrow, if you will be my bow, and anywhere I'm sent, I'll gladly go. I'll be a witness all around the world, to every man, every woman, every boy and girl. Cause I was born in the ghetto with a strong survive, and with a will to strive, I began to rise. From 79, or was it 75, when reggae music began to open my eyes about the truth, the right, Jah the Most High, and how to achieve that little pie in the sky. Inspirated, yeah, I was totally motivated, to the point where I decided to chop the mic. But my direction was not to only those of my complexion, but the brown, yellow, red, and the white man. Critics criticize, cynics cynicize, any entertainer with a message they victimize. But in this world of sin, it's no surprise, so with the media I sympathize. I hear the rich man's laughter, hear the poor man's cries. Hypocrites advertise their lies through their eyes. Everyone's born, most of us die, but only God's children get the prize. Don't be a fool, be cool, come on and get wise. Yeah, wise up, no compromise. And listen to the voice that resides within your mind, cause God has sent a guide to all mankind. Choice is yours, life above or death below, it's up to you to save your soul.
Soul Sister Radio.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my book, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's R-E-B-E-C-C-A. LAWLOR Limited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to Soul Sister Friday. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and I want to welcome you to Soul Sister Radio and the show today, Healing Through Prayer with Corrine Walson. Corrine, take it away.
Hi, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm back. Maria, I don't know if others are hearing it, but if there's a slight delay. There was a doubling up on the commercials. It's like you could hear it come through twice. I don't know if that's the way you received it, but just alerting you. The song today, the new artist that we have in that opening song, the words were really perfect for today's show. He's talking about that voice from within that calls out to you and beckons you back onto the right path. And interestingly enough, my talk today is about or entitled From Darkness to Light. And it was last week that a good friend of mine and our daughters went to go see the movie The Croods. And I sent out, I posted something on my Facebook about the assignment for any listener was to go see that movie. And I don't know if you have or you haven't, but I'll tell you a little bit about it and why I thought it was relevant. I wasn't really particularly interested in that movie. I knew that I'd seen it, that it's out, and I hadn't seen a movie in a while. And I love DreamWorks, and I love Pixar. I love the cartoon movies, and so we decided to go see The Croods. Well, this movie just blew me away. I don't know how it's doing rating-wise, but it was really awesome. Taken at the face value, the Croods are just that. They're crude. They're cave people living back in the Dark Ages. And they hide in this cave, and they're afraid of everything, the dark, anything new, anything that they don't recognize. The motto is never not be afraid. There's a father who's an enormous man who's beyond powerful, just muscles rippling. And then there's the mother. They've got two kids, a son and a daughter. And then there's the mother's mother, or the mother-in-law, that lives with them in this cave. And the daughter, Eep Crude, found herself irresistibly drawn to the light, to the sunlight. She would look at it and was drawn to it, and when it set in the evening, she would run and try and raise her hand and to touch those last rays before it turned dark. And when it became dark outside, she hated it because the family would have to go into the cave and roll the stone in front of it because, you know, there was evil things lurking out there in the nighttime. That's when these people would die. And she felt that she just knew inside that there was more to life than just living in this cave. In fact, in the movie, she described it as, you know, that they weren't living. They were just not dying. So she sneaks out at night against her father's orders when she glimpses this bright light out in the darkness beyond the safety of the cave walls. She saw something, and she snuck out, and she follows it. And she encounters this young man named Guy. And he introduces her to this discovery of fire. He's discovered how to make it. And he explains to her that the end of the world is coming, you know, and that the earth's going to crack and there's going to be fire and that they have to leave right away in order to keep safe. But Eep naturally wants to bring her mom and dad, brother and grandmother, who are all back in the cave. So when Eep goes to tell her family about this plan to leave, of course, their initial reaction is fear, you know, and disbelief. They're skeptical. They rebel. They argue. And they refuse to go, and they cling to the cave because it's what they know. But then this earthquake comes along, and this big boulder drops, and it destroys their cave. And now they're forced to move on with Guy. And then Guy demonstrates this new concept or new this fire and its many uses, and he shows them other new ideas, things that they hadn't known about and were completely amazed by, like shoes. He takes them into this new land, and when they first get there, there's already other animals and life there. And as the Croods enter into this new land, their negativity and skepticism and outbursts, it grated on the ears of the ones already living in this new land. You see these inhabitants covering their ears and grimacing because it was painful to listen to the Croods. And as they continue on their journey, they encounter many obstacles, and they learn how to overcome them. One that was really interesting to me is that they came to a field of caves, and it was decided, it looked like a maze, and it was decided that it was best for each one to take a different route to the other side, but that they'd each take one of these shelves that they could blow through in order to signal to the others and the family if they got into any trouble. And, of course, the dad, you know, represents the voice of old feuds, fear and doubt. He didn't like the idea at all. I mean, he yelled and screamed. But the others started to see the logic in Guy's reasoning and took Guy's advice and headed out in separate directions. Each one encountered a lesson of some kind, which helped to elevate their thinking and teach them something new. Every one of them made it to the other side, but the dad, with his fear and frustration, it resulted in him getting lost and stuck in the cave. He ended up signaling with his shell, and the wife went back in and led him out to rejoin the family. It was there on the other side that Guy showed them the wonders of the stars. You know, they'd never seen them because they were always in the cave at night. But he had them climb up to the top of this tree, and they stood there, and they just marveled at this new view that they've never seen before. It was just amazing, gorgeous. And Guy kept taking them in the direction of the light. He believed that the light would take them to a better land, and that that land is called tomorrow. Huge earthquakes came and rocked the earth, and a huge ravine or crack was created that they had to get across. And when they walked up to the edge of it, there was lava down below, and they were scared. As soon as they became afraid, their impulse was to run back to the cave. But the dad saw a glimmer of light on the other side and told the group that there would be no more caves, no running back. He just knew that that light was beckoning to him. And through the love of the dad or father, he took each one of his family and he flung them across the ravine. He knew that he had no way to get himself across, but he didn't hesitate when he saved his family. The family blew their shells when they made it to the other side to signify their safety. And you see the family in their sorrow when they realize that they might not ever see the dad again and his great sacrifice for them. So that night on the opposite side of the ravine, the dad was by himself, and he comforted himself by drawing pictures of his family on the rock wall, and he drew a picture of his arms encircling them. Then this large cat that had been following the family in an attempt to eat them at night approached the dad and was about to lunge at him when the dad's torch dimmed, and the fire was about to die out. Well, this cat was deathly afraid of the dark, too, and both the cat and the dad began desperately trying to save the flame and did so. And when they both had that common motive of staying out of the dark, they were united and became friends. And the large cat actually helped the dad in the plan that allowed them to fly across the ravine and be reunited with the rest of his family. Wow, DreamWorks, I am impressed. This movie... it spoke to me throughout the whole movie. I just kept gasping because of the deep lessons contained within it. Let me share with you what I found to be the spiritual interpretation of the movie. First, we have cave dwellers living in the dark and fear. The dad, who represents the old belief systems, instills fear into his family and kept them in the cave, thinking that he was protecting the family, he was justified, and that the cave life was as good as it gets. But Eep, the daughter, represents the enlightened thought or the Christ within us. That's the voice that beckons to us. It urges us forward, even when we don't know what and where we're going. And it's the light or God that she is seeking but doesn't understand it. She knew there was something greater out there, that there had to be more to this life, and that the light was somehow connected to an answer she needed to know, must know, even if it meant risking it all. Guy represents Jesus. He is the one that showed them the way. He instructed them on new ways of thinking and living. He proved to them that there is a life above and beyond what they could see, out beyond the cave of fear and doubt. The Croods clung tightly to their cave until they had to move on because their cave was destroyed. old dying beliefs fade away, and we are compelled to move forward, even when we believe it might hurt to do so. But we are not alone on this journey. When the Croods went into a new land, there were inhabitants already there. But the Croods' words of fear and doubt irritated the new inhabitants. This is what happens when those who already know the truth are introduced to those who still live in fear and doubt. It is what happens when a new belief system or idea is introduced into the old belief system. There's an initial friction because the two cannot jive or live together. The old beliefs must mold and give way to the new to live in harmony. The caves that each Crude had to pass through represented to me this experience we call life. We each walk a path uniquely ours, and we cannot do it for one another. We can encourage, but it's got to be our own. And although each one of us has this lesson from darkness to light or from fear to love, and we've got to travel it. And we will learn lessons along the way, and it might not be easy. It usually isn't. We cannot give in to fear and frustration, but keep moving forward. God will always send messengers and angels to comfort, guard, and guide us as we move through this journey. The mom made it all the way through and then offered to go back and help the dad out of the maze. I am confident that angels are among us, and that they come to us when we need them. When Guy showed them the stars, it was showing us how we too will have new, grander views as we move past our mental obstacles. Things we never knew existed or were possible will open up to us. When the earthquakes came and destroyed everything around them, they became very afraid. Their first instinct was to return to the cave. How often do we run back to our default of fear and doubt, being small and hiding when the going gets tough? And it was the dad who was before the ringleader who instilled doubt and fear that saw the glimpse of light through the smoke and ashes on the other side of the ravine. This glimpse of the Christ changed the dad's character. He was filled with love, and that was such a powerful love that he was willing to lay down his life for his family as he threw each one across the ravine, knowing he didn't have a way across himself. But that night, the cat, or angel, came to the dad. The cat ended up comforting the dad and helped him reunite with his family. Pretty awesome, huh? Before I continue, I think I'm at that point in time where we need to take a brief station identification break. Be right back.
Soul Sister Radio.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
This movie accurately portrays the adventure that each of us is on. I believe our five material senses are the cave. They keep us misinformed and ignorant, and the world keeps us full of fear and doubt. And like Eep said, many of us aren't really living. We just aren't dying. But what aroused Eep lives in us too. We feel it. Those thoughts about, is this all there is? Wasn't I made for more than this? A seed lies within us, and it will not leave us alone, and it wants your attention. It will not interfere with your free will, but it's there, waiting for you to take your focus off the cave walls and start focusing on it, the light within, the Christ, the truth that Jesus came to teach us. And as you focus on that light, you leave the old beliefs behind. I think Mary Baker Eddy said it best in Science and Health. She described it this way. The effects of Christian Science are not so much seen as felt. It is the still, small voice of truth uttering itself. We are either turning away from this utterance, or we are listening to it and going up higher. Willingness to become as a little child and to leave the old for the new renders thought receptive of the advanced idea. Gladness to leave the false landmarks and joy to see them disappear. This disposition helps to precipitate the ultimate harmony. The purification of sense and self is a proof of progress. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Eve was receptive of the advanced idea. She responded and left the old for the new. And as she did, her life was enriched. She lived life in a whole new way. She saw things she never knew existed or were even possible. Look back at your life. On the plane of human existence, we see how things evolve, get better, become more effective. Thought evolves, and when thought evolves, then things evolve around us. The way we conduct business has changed dramatically from when I was a child. Emails and computers, I can't think of a life without them. And the games we played as children certainly aren't what the children are playing with today. What I'm saying is progress and change is inevitable. And as we progress, we must leave a bone pile of the old, outdated, and unused beliefs behind us. The same is true with spirituality. Science is progressing. We are learning more and more. And it is undeniable that those at the front lines of new ideas, some of whose study and practice quantum physics, are convinced that we live in simply different forms of energy. There has been proof that our thoughts impact our lives. It is what the secret or law of attraction is all about. They are beginning to make the connection between controlling our thought life and how it directly results in your human experience. But they aren't all the way there yet. They are still believing that it is mind with a little m or a fleshly thing under your skull, and not mind with a capital M, a synonym for God, that is the source behind all of it. And what is so cool about Mrs. Eddy is that she knew this and much more back in the 1800s. People called her crazy, but she proved what she knew. There are hundreds of testimonies of those who were healed by her when all else failed. There are those who were healed by her when she merely looked at them. She was so clear about the truth and who and what we are, the image and likeness of God, that this understanding immediately cleared out all darkness, all sense of separation from our Creator, that whatever form the lie of separation took, either disease, mental issues, broken bones, blindness, cancer, were cast out and the patient was healed. She was way ahead of her time, and she set forth the science behind Jesus' teachings in her book for us to learn and practice. This new thought, healing through prayer alone, was accepted a long time ago. The disciples did it. The darkness was threatened by it. Spirituality threatens the very existence of this material world, and it attacks the light at its first appearance. Matter rules our lives. The world dictates our reality. We allow ourselves to be governed by fear and doubt, the media and corporate America, by greed and selfish motives, all neatly packaged in a dark cave without windows. But somewhere within each of us, there is love. There is a sense of what is right, moral, kind, of God. The remembrance of who we are burns deep in our core. We know something. It's there. And if we become still enough, stop long enough, it speaks to us. And depending on where we are in the journey, whether we are the dad full of self-righteous fear, or the mom who's open to a new way but is tentative, or eat the daughter who throws caution to the wind because she knows that whatever the cost, she must unite with the light, we will respond to the inner call. We will recognize the source of this calling, and eventually we must answer this call. It calls us higher to a recognition of who we are, the spiritual children of God. We are all on this journey from darkness to light, from fear to love, from confusion to understanding, from brokenness to wholeness. Jesus came so that we don't have to suffer in the dark. He showed us the way. He showed us how to do it, and he did it for us. The tools are there. The only thing that prevents you from achieving it is that warfare with the serpent thought within. The path is not outside yourself. All the answers come from within. Mrs. Eddy describes it as a warfare with the flesh in which we must conquer sin, sickness, and death, either here or hereafter, certainly before we can reach the goal of spirit or life in God. The path is not a physical one. Everything is the divine mind, and its ideas. Your path and progress are found in consciousness and not anywhere else. Jesus described this path as the narrow way that which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. It's not so much that we don't find or discern it, but once we begin aright, we become distracted and lose our way. Like the hallway and doors we discussed last week, so many things to stand aghast at and lose our way and focus on. We catch a glimpse of the light and attempt to follow it. Science and Health states, walking in the light, we are accustomed to the light and require it because we cannot see in darkness. But eyes accustomed to darkness are pained by the light. When outgrowing the old, you should not fear to put on the new. Your advancing course may provoke envy, but it will also attract respect. As you begin to put off the old man and put on the new, when you begin to go within for answers instead of without, when your spiritual life and relationship to your Creator becomes more valuable and important to you than a new car or a pair of expensive shoes, you're going to start emitting something different. Because you walk in the light, you're going to radiate light. The old thought, those who aren't out of the cave yet, will view you with skepticism, doubt, and judgment. Pay no attention to that. It isn't that they're bad, but they live in the dark, and the light hurts their eyes. Have pity on them. Shine your light anyways, and pray that it inspires them, or at the very least, makes them question, what is it that you have that they don't? As you move forward, the world's going to attempt to take you out, to make you run back to the cave. Your faith is being tested. Will you run back to the cave at the first sign of trouble? It's okay if you do. But as you progress, you're going to find that you stop yourself just before you go back in. And eventually, as soon as temptation strikes, you won't be moved to change course at all. The serpent's going to take aim in the areas that you are most likely to succumb to. Rejoice in that trial. It means you're progressing. It's threatened. It's an opportunity to lift your thought above the seeming discord and drama and rise into the conscious strength of the truth of who you are, what you are, and what that means. You will claim your God-given victory even in the midst of a seeming problem because you know that God's will is already done and His creation is already perfect. You will resist the lie the serpent tries to sell you because you no longer believe in a power opposed to God. Your life becomes balanced and full and satisfying because you know it is governed by God. You stop looking for the love outside of yourself. You no longer need to feel that aching gap inside you because you know that God is love itself, that love is your creator, your father, mother, that you cannot ever be outside of love's presence and power, that in truth, this love is the only love there is, the only thing that will truly ever satisfy you, because ultimately, the light that beckons you, this journey, the trials and victories, all of this is your path back to yourself. We have simply forgotten, been mesmerized into forgetting who we are, and we live in the dark because we've been blinded to our magnificence by this experience. And you are ultimately finding your way back to you, the real you, the you that God knows, the you that Jesus would see if he stood in front of you. The you that knows who you are and calls out to you to remember. The you that love created. The you that knows all and is one with all. The you who is the healer. The incredible, talented, lovely, successful, passionate, perfect, funny, artful, whimsical, amazing, and awesome you. I will take my leave now, but before I do, I want to read the words from a quick a hymn to you. From sense to soul, my pathway lies before me. From mist and shadow into truth's clear day. The dawn of all things real is breaking over me. My heart is singing, I have found the way. I reach mind's open door, and at its portal, I know that where I stand is holy ground. I feel the calm and joy of things immortal. The loveliness of love is all around. The way leads upward and its goal draws nearer. Thought soars enraptured, fetterless and free. The vision infinite to me grows clearer. I touch the fringes of eternity. Enjoy the journey, everybody. I love you, and I will talk to you next Friday.
Soul Sister Radio.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the Advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journals. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support.
I hear some say nothing is sweeter than love's first kiss, or getting high till you reach the sky on a cloud of bliss. But as I reflect upon my life and I reminisce, I can't dismiss that I get a thrill from love and service. That is why I'm gonna learn to love, and I'm gonna love to serve. 'Cause as I serve my brothers and sisters, I am serving the Father. Yes, I'm gonna learn.
is plenty, but the laborers are few. So let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
Radio.
Get up off your side. It'll make you feel much better. Get up off your side. It'll make you feel much better.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support.
What you make it. If you see an opportunity, ya know you better take it. And don't you mistake it. And don't you fake it. No, the golden rule, don't you break it. See, life can be a fantasy or a reality. It's just the state of your mentality. Don't lose your soul to vanity. It's insanity. Come show some love for humanity. My name is Fatima. Psychology, and no man can erase it. There's a natural mystic blowing in the air, yeah. Science cannot trace it, but I can feel it, hear it, see it, smell it. I can even taste it. My name is Pato Banza. Survive.